What does the Scripture say? My name is Ben Bailey.
Do you know Jesus? From the outset, that may sound like a rather odd question. For most people would say, well, sure, I know Jesus. I know He came into the earth. I know that He died for me. And I know that He was suffered on a cross in Calvary and that He gave His life for all mankind. That's really not what we're asking you about today. When we ask you, do you know Jesus? We're asking, do you know what made Jesus who He was? What made Him from day to day, in the face of pain, in the face of agony, in the face of defeat, what made Him keep going? What made Jesus the powerful man that He was? What can make Him go for basically 3 years and teach the gospel to people who many times did not accept Him? What really made Jesus tick as a person? That's what we're going to be asking in today's study of Jesus. What was He really like? Society in general holds 4 views of Jesus. Some think that Jesus was just simply a liar. He did false miracles. He wasn't God, although He claimed to be. He really didn't live a perfect life, for no one can do that. And everything that Jesus said was not true. He may have fabricated a few things, made some claims that weren't right, and really, to come down to it, He was just a liar. Then there are those who believe that Jesus was a great leader. Like Moses, Jesus was a great leader of God's people. Or like David, who was a great king, Jesus was that kind of leader, a political leader. In fact, we know that this is the view that some of the Jews and even Jesus' disciples had. For in John chapter 6 and verse 15, Jesus had to leave because He perceived they were about to take Him and make Him a king by force. The disciples at the resurrection of Jesus said, or after Jesus had been resurrected and was about to ascend, said in Acts chapter 1, Lord, will You now deliver the kingdom to Israel? They thought Jesus Himself was going to be a great leader and a great physical king. But that's not who Jesus is. Some think that Jesus is not a liar or a lord, but rather a lunatic. When Jesus said things like in John chapter 6, unless you eat My flesh and drink My blood, you cannot have any part of Me. He was talking about consuming His whole person, figuratively, into our being. But some take that and make Him out to be a lunatic. When Jesus said in John chapter 3, unless a man is born again, people think that Jesus had to be crazy, for no one can go back into his mother's womb and be born again. When Jesus made statements like in Mark chapter 3, when His mother and brothers were calling to Him, and He looked around and said, these are My mother and My brothers, those who do the will of God. Many think that Jesus was just a little bit off when He said things like that and He was a lunatic. But then there's a fourth view of Jesus, and this is the view that really comes in line with what the New Testament teaches. And that is that Jesus is not a liar, that He's not lunatic, that He's not a leader necessarily, but He's the Lord of our lives. This is the view that the Bible holds for us. Acts chapter 2 and verse 36, when Peter came to the climax of his sermon, he said, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this same Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. So today we're going to look at several passages in the Gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that teach us about the nature of Christ, what made Him the great Lord that He was. And as we study this lesson, the practical application for us is, as we think about the nature of Jesus and what made Him such a great man of God, we can take those same characteristics that Jesus had, put them in our life, and it will help us develop to be better Christians and better followers of the will of God. So what was Jesus like? Jesus was a man who believed in the great power of prayer. When I think about my Lord and Savior, I think about a man who knew the value of talking to the Father on a daily basis. A man who knew the value of asking for God's help each and every day. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 44, we see an example of this. The Bible tells us that when Jesus was in great agony in the garden, He prayed more earnestly, and it was as though the sweat from Him became as drops of blood. In the garden He prayed, not Thy will, or not My will, but Thine be done. In John chapter 17, Jesus prayed for Himself. He prayed for His immediate followers, and He prayed for all of us, that we would be one. Probably one of the greatest examples is found in Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. Notice what Mark says about the life of Christ. He says, now in the morning, having risen a while, long while before daylight, He went out departed to a solitary place, and there prayed. Think about how Jesus started His day. Jesus got up early in the morning, a long while before daylight. He made a special plan to get up early so that He could depart from the rat race of life, so that He could get away from all the hustle and bustle to a solitary place, a place where there was quiet, where the cars weren't honking, where the police sirens weren't going off, where He could rest and where He could be at peace and have communication with God. And this He did so that He could be strengthened each and every day. You think about some of the days in Jesus' life and you have to wonder how He was able to keep on going when people laughed at Him, when people mocked at Him, when He did miracles and they wanted to call Him the worker of Beelzebub, the worker of the devil. How did Jesus continue to do the will of God? Jesus had to start His day with prayer, and He had to ask for help in dealing with the difficult situations of life. And friends, our life is no different. If Jesus, who is our example, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, started every day out with prayer and knew the great value of it, that teaches us that we need to realize the value of prayer. There are other examples in the Bible that we find of the power of prayer. In Daniel chapter 6, we see that Daniel, he's told, you don't pray to God, you pray to this image. When the sound is made, you bow down and you pray to this image. What did Daniel do? Daniel 6, verse 10, as was his custom from early days, three times a day, with his window open toward Jerusalem, he prayed to God. Daniel knew about the power of prayer, and he used that to overcome his challenges. You ever wonder why Daniel had the faith and the power and the strength to go into the lion's den? Part of it was because he had communication with God, and he asked for God's help, and he knew that God would hear his prayer. Think about Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16. They have just been put in prison because they cast a demon out of a woman who was making people a lot of money. And so the people who were in charge threw them in prison, put them in the innermost part of the prison, bound them up. You know, at times like these, you might think, boy, Paul and Silas, I bet they really got discouraged. I bet they were down. I bet they were about ready to throw in the towel. And then we read Acts 16:25. Paul and Silas were in prison, and they were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. How did they get through difficult times in their life? What made the Apostle Paul stay faithful to the journeys that he went on? I believe a lot of Paul's strength was gained from prayer. And our strength is the same today. If we think that in and of ourselves we are going to make it as a Christian, then the devil's got us right where he wants us, and we're doomed to succeed. But if we realize that God, through the power of prayer, is able to help us, then we'll be able to do more abundantly than we ever can think or ask or imagine. Jesus said it this way in Luke 18:1, men ought to pray always and never lose heart. When we get discouraged, what should we do? When we get down, when things happen that throw us off track or make us sad or sometimes want to be downhearted, what should we do? Jesus said men ought to pray and never lose heart. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, Paul said, pray without ceasing. James taught us about the power of prayer in James chapter 5 and verse 16. James said it's the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous person that overcomes much. Effective, fervent, the idea of continual and ongoing and heartfelt, knowing that God will help us, that's what overcomes much in this life. Matthew 21, verse 22, we know that if we ask, and it's according to God's will, 1 John 5, verses 13 through 16, then God will hear us. Philippians 4, verse 6 says it this way, be anxious in nothing, but in everything, by supplication, by prayer and request, prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God, and the God of peace, He will help us, we are told. And so like Christ, we need to realize the value of prayer. Jesus understood it, and if we're going to conquer life's daily battles, we need to ask for the helping hand of God. We need to ask that God will give us the strength and the courage to face the troubles that we do in life. When we think about what was Jesus really like, we can also know that Jesus was a man who was a very logical thinker. Jesus was not bent on emotion necessarily. He did not live his life by the majority poll. He didn't do what made others happy. Jesus lived a life that was based on the logic that we find in the Bible. Logic meaning critical reasoning, reasoning that is based on facts and reasoning that is based on the right facts. And so today, we need to be a people who are logical thinkers. Think about the example of Jesus in Matthew chapter 9, verses 12 and 13. Here Jesus says these words. When Jesus heard that, some people had said, there's Jesus and He's over there eating with sinners and tax collectors. If He's the Lord, why is He not over here with the religious people? And when Jesus heard that, He said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Think about the logic Jesus just used on these, quote, religious elite people. Here they are, and they're thinking, okay, He claims to be the Savior of the world. He claims to be the Messiah. We know we're the most religious. Why is He over here associating with us? And Jesus, as He often did, used great wit, and He said this. He said, do you go to the doctor when you're well? Of course you don't. And Jesus said, well, I didn't come to help those who are well or who think they're well. Jesus said, God came to heal those who were sick. I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus very logically shows these people something that they would have to agree with. You don't go to the doctor when you feel good. And Jesus said, just like that, I came to help those who were sick in sin. Jesus taught throughout His life, that we must as well be a people who reason from the Scripture and that we reason logically through God's Word. This is what the Bible teaches us to do. Our decisions must not be bent on emotion. They must not be charged by polls or by majority opinion. We've got to make good decisions based on the facts of Scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21, the Apostle Paul said, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. God says in Isaiah 1, verse 18, come, let us reason together. There's the idea. We prove all things. We reason together with God through His Word. And thus, we must search the Scriptures daily to see if what we're being taught is true to the will and the Word of God. As we think about the life of Christ, we also know that Jesus was a very powerful man. What made Jesus such a great person? It was the power that He exhibited, and some of that was due to the miracles that He had. In Mark chapter 4, verses 40 and 41, Matthew also teaches us of this account, we learn this about Jesus. After this, after Jesus had calmed the storm, it says, they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey Him? Imagine, here are the disciples of Jesus. They're in the boat. There's a great storm that arises. One account, Jesus is asleep. He's not even concerned about it seems like. He arises out of His sleep. He says, be still. Be at peace. And the ocean looks like a plate of glass. Everything is calm. Everything is serene. There's nothing to worry about. The boat's not going to flip over. And the disciples are amazed. And they said, who in the world can this be that He says to the sea, be still, and it listens to Him? This is the Jesus we're talking about today. Jesus was a very powerful individual. Friend, we want you to know today that Jesus, in serving man, gave His life for us. Jesus died on the cross as the greatest act of service that you could ever imagine, the greatest sacrifice. He died so that we could have the hope of heaven. Today, if you want to begin to live your life by the pattern of Jesus, you need to do so by obeying the will of God. Jesus was obedient unto death. Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9. You can obey God by believing that Jesus is the Son of God, by repenting of things in your life that are not right, by confessing Him as the Son of God, and by being baptized in water. Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. He that does not believe shall be condemned. If you've never obeyed the gospel, and you want to follow the pattern of Christ, you can do so by obeying Jesus Christ. We're praying and hoping that you'll live your life by the pattern of Christ.